This is a Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to this program, A Mexican Crossing Lines, with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And today we are talking about North Dakota and how it violates rights. And that's been happening a lot recently, especially for those water defenders and land defenders that are at Standing Rock in Cannonball, North Dakota. What we've seen lately should give everyone pause and make us all look at the state of our freedoms, of our First Amendment rights to free speech, to assembly, to have the media be represented and have their voices heard. It's quite a stark story that we're seeing right now in North Dakota. We have National Guard, we have sheriff's departments from South Dakota, from Wisconsin, from North Dakota, all over the place, in Cannonball, in the area, essentially, according to the people that are there, blocking roads, violating people's rights, threatening and intimidating people with unnecessary use of force and military equipment. And today we're going to talk about what the latest updates are, including some of the actions that the water defenders and land protectors have taken over the weekend. It's been a very busy weekend.
Definitely.
And also we will be talking about what's going on with the journalists' rights that have been violated thus far. I suppose there will be more to come. The way that North Dakota is behaving right now, they don't seem to care about the consequences, not only to the state, not only to the water, not only to the land or the Native American people whose rights they are violating, mm-hmm. but also to the free speech rights that we have as American citizens. Also, to the rights of journalists to tell media stories.
Exactly.
And we will also be talking about some of the legal ramifications for the state. There is a very interesting interview that the Young Turks did mm-hmm. with an environmental attorney that we will let folks listen to, because she knows what's up. There are, believe it or not, there are many attorneys down at Sacred Stone Camp, as well as UN
observers.
Observers. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's human rights observers,
yeah.
UN observers, mm-hmm. legal observers, which are lawyers that are down there to make sure that police are not violating people's rights. And they're down there with cameras and video equipment documenting that police do not violate people's rights.
And they have been. And they've been documenting it.
Yes, they have been. And they have been documenting it. In fact, last week was Indigenous Peoples Day, which was on Monday.
Yeah. A week ago.
A week ago, when they had that action that was a prayer action with the teepee, and they arrested elders and they arrested water defenders. Mm-hmm. There was people, a couple of people tied down to equipment. At that event,
yeah.
there was a legal observer and documentary filmmaker who was also a council member from Wisconsin, who was there as a documentary filmmaker to document actions of the police.
Mm-hmm.
Along with an attorney, she was there along with an attorney, as well as she was there in her capacity as a councilwoman to deliver a proclamation from her city to Standing Rock Sioux Tribe about their support of the actions of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe to mm-hmm. defend their water against the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Yeah, they were standing with Standing Rock.
Yes. And she was pulled out and arrested, and she says, and accused of rioting, and she says, mm-hmm. that what Morton County Sheriff's Department is doing is illegal, abusive. She said that she clearly had a green hat that said that she was a legal observer, uh-huh. and they ignored it. So she feels that she was targeted specifically. She said that her camera was thrown to the ground. She said that the police officer was alerted to the fact that she was a legal observer and that he did not care, that her camera equipment may have been damaged, destroyed, and or her footage, which would also be another form of illegal activity on behalf of the police. But this type of report of police deleting and or confiscating and or breaking into people's media is not the first that we have heard.
No, not at all.
Surveillance, illegal searches and seizures, mm-hmm, etc. Mm-hmm. So all of this is occurring in the state of North Dakota. This is, for those of you just tuning in, 2016. You have not traveled in time. This is not an old show. It is 2016 America, and this is what's happening in our country right now. So we need to talk about it, because unfortunately, a lot of the mainstream media, a lot of what I would call commercial media is not doing it. And that includes your KVLYs and your KVR, your KFYRs.
Your WDAYs.
Yeah. A lot of these media outlets are for profit. And what does that mean? It means that they have to cater to the companies that advertise in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't afford to be anti-oil in a big oil state,
yeah,
or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever mm-hmm. corporate interests live inside of your state, they too will have an effect on the media. Of course they will. That's, you know, it's common knowledge that less and less people are actually paying attention to mainstream media or getting their news from there, because guess what, folks? People don't trust them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is precisely why we don't trust our media, because we have a lack of media coverage or slanted media coverage that benefits the narrative of those in authority or the corporations that are funding them. And frankly, in this particular case, we have a perfect storm of abuses, not only in media biased reporting or lack of reporting, but also in the broken justice system we have here in North Dakota, which is violating the rights of water protectors and land defenders, which is falsely arresting people for praying,
yeah,
for marching, for demonstrating,
for walking, for existing,
yeah, for traveling
on public roads.
Yep. And we heard that LaDonna Bravebolt Allard's daughter, she's one of the tribal leaders at the Sacred Stone Camp, was essentially kidnapped by the police. She was not even a driver. She was just a passenger in a vehicle, and she was going away from the camp. She was not going to an action. She was simply driving.
Yeah.
She wasn't driving. She was a passenger in a vehicle.
She's riding on the road.
And the car was stopped by police. Then several vehicles arrived. She was pulled out of the passenger side of the vehicle and arrested. She was thrown into jail. She was stripped naked, mm-hmm, by three male officers and one female officers. And then she was thrown naked into a cell overnight with no clothes.
Yeah.
Overnight. I mean, the kinds of things that we're hearing that are being reported by people that are put into these situations, it seems as if the goal of the police, because many of these people are being released, mm-hmm, and the charges are being dropped.
Yeah. It's that, so they can sensationalize it and take the media. Media follows right along, and they reprint the stuff that they put out, and then they create fear, they create hatred, and they take it away from the real issues. And they're doing a horrible job as law enforcement in North Dakota.
Well, it's not only that, it has a chilling effect on the folks that they terrorize.
Yeah.
Because if you get kidnapped in the middle of the day while driving down the road and thrown naked in a jail cell overnight, you might wonder about whether or not you want to go back to Sacred Stone see your mom.
It's the intimidation factor that they're really ramping up these past couple of weeks and do every day.
And that should terrify every single American. Every single person that is standing alive on this continent right now should be horrified by that. Folks, this is not Russia. This is not China. This is not some third world country. This is the United States. This is the heartland of America we are talking about. And the rights and abuses of those rights that are taking place should be condemned and should be immediately stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start by talking about what is some of the things that we've heard have been happening over the weekend. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP, Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting on Shoutcast, so you want to go to our website at kpppfm.com and you can listen live right there. And we definitely encourage you to contact us with any comments that you have about this show, about what you've experienced,
yeah,
at the Sacred Stone Camp. If you want to be interviewed,
mm-hmm,
on our station, please give us a shout out. How
That's
can people
right.
get a hold of
well,
us, Duke?
You can get a hold of us many ways. One way, you can call us at our message line, leave us a message. 701-566-0917. You can actually call in and give us your opinion, and we may play it on the air. Tell us who you are, where you're from. You can tweet us at @media_PPP. Now, if you want to talk to us and get an interview or just talk to us offline, you can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke at kpppfm.com. And just to follow what we're doing, you can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can.
That's right. And we encourage you to do that because that's where we get a lot of the story ideas and comments. We can find out what really matters to you. So definitely follow us on social media and Twitter. Tonight, we will be talking again about what is happening in the state of North Dakota at Sacred Stone Camp in Cannibal, North Dakota, and the violation of rights here in our very own state. Why is this happening in North Dakota? We have riot police, we have military, we have the National Guard in North Dakota, and we have over and over and over again in all of these direct actions seen police in full riot gear with MRAPs, with live ammunition, and this is nothing close to anything even resembling a large protest action that would require such a show of force that we've seen across our country in the past few years with all the deaths of unarmed black and brown people.
No, there's been no weapons. There's all these lies that the media has been spreading and the Cattlemen's Association, all this stuff is, they're all lies for intimidation and to scare people. These have been peaceful protests, well-organized, very directed, no property damage, no threat to anybody. The protesters, the water protectors are the ones who are being threatened by law enforcement with this huge force. So, you know, the idea that they actually need all that, you know, they just shouldn't be there. They should let people go pray.
Exactly. But that is exactly what they're trying to stop. Here's one report on October 17th. This came out very recent. 5 unarmed Native American anti-Bakken Dakota Access Pipeline protesters that were praying on the side of the road were given 5 minutes to stop praying and leave, or they were going to face arrest. And there was over 40 police officers there from at least 8 departments from 3 different states. They had armored vehicles, acoustic weapons, riot gear, automatic weapons, and billy clubs.
Wow.
These water protectors, a group of Native Americans and their allies, were led by the Standing Rock Sioux working to defeat this Bakken Dakota Access Pipeline. They sat, all they did was they sit on the side of the road, on the shoulder of the road, on a public roadway to pray after the voluntary end of a larger protest. Mm. And the prayer was allowed to go on for about 10 minutes. And then as they were praying, the police continued to get more forces there. So they kept growing their police forces. They started at about 30 officers with armored vehicles and they swelled to about around 40. Wow. And there was video of this. There is a link to this story along with this program from Native News Online. You can check it out and read for yourself what happened. There's a video there you can watch. We won't share that with you because a lot of it is actually, you know, praying and helicopter sounds.
Yeah.
Very loud helicopter sounds. So it's not very useful. There's not a lot of information. So we're giving you the report of what we saw on that video and what was reported by Native News Online. A single officer then approached that group of prayerful water defenders and told them they had 5 minutes to stop praying. Since when did praying become illegal?
Yeah. Well, it's been illegal for indigenous people in the past.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I remember that song. Mm-hmm. I remember when our prayers were illegal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is happening again. Our prayers are now illegal. So they were ordered to stop praying or face arrest. And in essence, that is what they were arrested for because they continued to pray. The prayers were considered unlawful protest.
Wow.
Insane.
Yeah.
And the men praying eventually left and the police made no arrests. Excuse me. So what was said about these threats that were made by law enforcement don't have the right to stop people from praying.
Mm-hmm.
One of the water protectors said the law was broken by 40 officers today, including freedom of religion and speech. Prayer does not have a time limit. Only showers in prison do.
Uh-huh.
That's what Black Crow, another praying water protector, had to say, the part about prayers do not have limits.
Yeah.
Two locations had different water protector actions that took place. There were North Dakota Police Department's present. North Dakota Game and Fish were out there. Mm. What in the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Grand Forks Police Department, Stark County, North Dakota State Parks, Williams County, Minot Police Department, Dane County, Wisconsin, and Quinn County, South Dakota were also present. We've also heard Burley County's out there. We've mm-hmm. seen Fargo Police Department's yeah. out there. We know that our Sheriff Laney from Cass County is out there.
Yeah, the alarmist.
We understand, and we've heard Laney say this before, that law enforcement stands together and help each other, and that's fine.
Yeah, during a flood, you need help like that.
Of course, and then and when people have an emergency, a real emergency, mm-hmm. not some hopped up lie by Governor Dalrymple, who owns shares in the oil patch yeah. and needs to get his oil to market through a pipeline. That's not a real emergency. I'm mm-hmm. talking about a tornado. I'm talking yeah. about a giant blizzard, a mm-hmm. flood, the kinds mm-hmm. of things that happen out here in North Dakota that we actually need emergency and law enforcement for. Not to go intimidate a bunch of people praying. This is disgraceful mm-hmm. for our state to be involved in, and for these other South Dakota state and Wisconsin state. It is really shameful and will be looked upon in historically as a dark moment, a moment of shame, a blot on the history of these otherwise fine officers for their involvement in the violation of the people's rights in North Dakota, because that is exactly what is happening right now. Mm-hmm. Up to this point now, over 100 water protectors, I think it's close to 200 people now,
yeah.
have actually been arrested, including journalists, legal observers, as we have mentioned earlier in this program.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent weeks, the charges have been getting escalated from just trespassing, which is a misdemeanor, to charges of rioting, as well as other felony charges for endangering the lives of police officers who are trying to get these folks free from the equipment. Amy Goodman from NPR has been charged with inciting a riot and for her coverage of the private security dogs attacking defenseless Native people, and including women and children, as well as Emmy Award-winning documentary film producer Daya Schlossberg, who was arrested on 3 felony charges and is facing up to 45 yeah. years in prison.
Wow.
This is really shocking and distressing. I want for us to hear from Amy Goodman, among the many other people that have been arrested for these kinds of acts of journalism, is what I'm going to refer to them as, for Unicorn Riot reporters and also Digital Smoke Signals reporter Myron Dewey. And there are others. There have been many other people, among them, like I said, people that are legal observers and water defenders. But the attack on journalism is something that should give us all pause. Fortunately, I believe fortunately for Amy Goodman, as well as for the state of North Dakota, the judge decided to throw out the charges against Amy Goodman today. And she was free to go back to reporting the news, I guess. So let's hear a little bit about what she had to say, and we'll come back and have some more commentary about the assault on our free speech rights and our freedom of the press rights.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I would like to introduce my lawyer, Tom Dixon, and also who is here from Bismarck, who will make a brief statement. As you may have heard, I was going into court today at 1:30 to face riot charges. Tom will speak, and then my other attorney, Reed Brody, will speak. And then I'd like to introduce you to the Democracy Now! Team.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Really loud.
Okay,
Good afternoon. On Friday afternoon, the criminal trespass charge, which was a frivolous criminal charge, was dismissed against Amy Goodman. At that time, we were informally informed there would be a second charge filed against her in engaging in a riot, a Class B misdemeanor charge. And we were informed that she was going to appear in front of the judge at 1:30 today to hear the charge and to get bond set. This morning, we were informed the judge refused to find probable cause for that charge. I spoke with the Morton County State's Attorney, Al Coppi, this afternoon. The case against Amy Goodman is now dismissed. And I just want to say now that the case is dismissed. Amy Goodman is a free woman.
Let me just say that Amy Goodman was always a free woman.
I think when the prosecutor misguidedly decided to file charges against Amy Goodman, he decided to go after the wrong person.
Yeah.
The rest of us
is not intimidated. And this dismissal, this rejection of the charges, is a complete vindication of the right of a journalist to report on the truth, and more importantly, the right of the public to know what is happening with the pipeline and with the struggle of the people here to protect their water and to protect their land.
It is a great honor to be here today. The judge's decision to reject the state's attorney, Ladd Erickson's, attempt to prosecute a journalist, in this case me, is a great vindication of the First Amendment and of our right to report. On September 3rd, the Democracy Now! Team came to North Dakota, to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, to the resistance camps, to cover this epic struggle. Native people on the front lines, particularly Native American women, on the front lines, who are taking on not only the Dakota Access Pipeline, but a global issue of climate justice, taking on the global issue of global warming. Democracy Now! Has been covering climate justice issues for the full 20 years that we have been broadcasting. We go to every UN climate summit. So often it's indigenous people on the front lines. We covered the Keystone XL pipeline. Now we're covering the Dakota Access Pipeline. And the important role of a journalist is to go to where the silence is. We should not be alone in the major media coming to cover this historic unification of Native Americans from more than 200 tribes from Latin America to the United States to Canada. All of the media should be there, given the scope of this struggle. And we encourage all of the media to come here. We certainly will continue to cover this struggle. It's not only to protect the water and land rights, but it's covering your right to speak, to be heard. We are not the only ones who have been charged. We faced misdemeanor. I faced misdemeanors. But I know there are a number of people who are going to court even as we speak here. Also important to point out other journalists who are being arrested. The state's attorney was attempting to stop journalism. The state's attorney must respect freedom of the press and the First Amendment. On September 3rd, we came to North Dakota and covered the Native Americans going down the road from the camp to plant their tribal flags at their burial ground. They were surprised to learn at their sacred ground, and I'm sure a number of you were there, that the Dakota Access Pipeline was actually actively excavating at that moment on this holiday weekend. They urged the bulldozers to stop. The security guards came out with their dogs and pepper spray. The dogs bit the protesters. Democracy Now! Videotaped the bloody dog with blood dripping from his mouth and his nose, biting not only protesters or protectors, the land and water protectors, but the Native Americans' horses as well. These images went viral. 14 million people almost immediately saw these images around the world. Mm. All of the networks then published, then played excerpts of that video. CBS Evening News, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, NPR. And it went on from there. We call that trickle-up journalism. The state cannot stop this journalism. The state must not stop this journalism. Violating the First Amendment is not good for North Dakota. It's not good for this country. I want to point out my colleagues, the Democracy Now! Team, John Hamilton, who continues to film today as he has been filming with us. Laura Gottesdiener, Laura, where are you? Laura, wave your hand. Who is tireless in her reporting on these issues. And Dennis Moynihan behind me, who is, this team was so critical in bringing out the story. I also want to thank Hani Massoud, and again, our lawyers Reed Brody and Tom Dixon. Most importantly, I want to thank everybody for being here, for showing up, for standing up for freedom of the press. And standing up for freedom of the press goes beyond journalism. Freedom of the press is about the public's right to know. Mm-hmm. That right to know is sacred. That's what makes a democracy meaningful, when you are able to make informed decisions. We've got to open up the media to everyone's voice. I see the media as a huge kitchen table that stretches across the globe that we all sit around and debate and discuss the critical issues of the day. When you hear someone speak for themselves, a Lakota grandmother, an Ojibwe grandchild, it breaks down barriers. It challenges the caricatures and stereotypes that fuel the hate groups. It is so important that we open up this dialogue. You don't have to agree with what you hear, but you begin to understand where people are coming from. That's the beginning of peace. I think the media can be the greatest force for peace on earth. Unfortunately, all too often it's wielded as a weapon of war, which is why we have to take the media back. Thank you for coming out here today. We will continue to cover what happens at the resistance camps, what happens in the reservation, what happens at the excavation sites, what happens behind the bars in the Mandan jail. One of the issues we've been covering now extensively just today is the number of people charged with low-level misdemeanors like, Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle, the pediatrician on the reservation, on the Standing Rock Reservation, charged with disorderly conduct, brought to this jail and strip searched.
Wow.
The chair of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, the chair, Standing Rock Sioux's Dave Archambault, charged in a civil disobedience, brought to this jail and strip searched. It is very important that we cover all of these issues. More than 140 people have been arrested so far. Democracy Now! Will continue to be there, this daily grassroots global news hour. We send a shout out to the media at the camp, to Native media all over. It's so important that your voices are broadcast, that you capture what's happening on the ground as well. And we demand that the corporate media also come here and broadcast the voices of those who are on the front lines of democracy. Democracy Now! Is about movements. It's movements that make history. Thank you for being here, for talking to us.
Welcome back to A Mexican Crossing Lines. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're talking about the violation of rights. North Dakota violates rights. That's what's been happening in the state of North Dakota. We just heard from Amy Goodman, and what has been a pattern and a practice of Morton County Sheriff's Department in dealing with water defenders, land defenders, people that are expressing their First Amendment rights to free speech and assembly. And also, there's been reports of violations of the rights of those folks in terms of illegal searches and seizures, illegal detainments and arrests, false arrests. And what we've heard today is that this prosecutor filed charges that he then dropped and then filed some other charges because he didn't drop the first charges simply because he was trying to be a nice guy. No, he didn't have the goods. He didn't have
The evidence.
He didn't have the evidence to prove what he charged her with. That should be actionable against him, because he's falsely charging someone he doesn't have any evidence to charge. But he wasn't going to let go. He didn't make the announcement that he didn't have the evidence to charge her with until she was heading this way and she landed in Bismarck and she found out they were dropping the charges.
Yep.
And then they came back with something even worse. They found something else they thought they could pin on her, which they've been trying to put on all these other people, which is rioting. I guess we will see how well the court stands up in determining that all of these false charges of rioting are going to be thrown out. But in the interim, people's rights are being violated. A woman was thrown into a jail naked overnight. Greg Greycloud reported that he was left inside of his cell for 4 hours without a bed or anywhere to defecate or urinate or any way of accessing water or food. These types of reports show us that there is a chilling effect intended by Morton County Sheriff's Department, both in their hyper-militarization to taunt and threaten people into fearing that they have the right to assemble and to protest, and as well as the tactics that they are using to intimidate people that are anywhere near the camp or driving on the roads in the vicinity of the camp. And when I want you to next play for us or share for us the audio from another direct action that took place on or around October 15th, which was posted on Facebook by Joseph White Eyes. The video itself was 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you can go and look for it, find Joseph White Eyes on Facebook, and then go and check out his videos. However, I will tell you, it's pretty pixelated in some places, and you will hear the audio on this, the clips we have, drop in and out because their cell phone access was very poor there.
Yeah, and this is where they were traveling to a DAPL site, and they were actually stopped on the road. The police did a roadblock and blocked a public road and didn't let the cars pass, and this is where the action took place.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Facebook world. We're out here on the front lines. We have tried to head to the construction area, but we were stopped on public property by these police officers. These police officers are from all over, from different various areas, different counties. We are here peacefully. We are trying to talk with the police. Everything here is, you know, in prayer, and we're going to continue to keep it that way. You got the armored vehicles here. You know, you got men and women out here as well. There's a small number, but there's still more coming. We even got a shuka out here. Sorry for the weak connection. It's a bad service area. Police are blocking us on public road. All we were doing was cruising through, and they stopped us. You got some working vehicles driving in the back. I'm not sure if they shut down construction or not. You got a few unmarked vehicles that work for the police. They're not telling us who's in charge. They got tear gas canisters ready to be fired upon us. You got them dressed in riot gear. The SWAT team, it says inside of that man's arm there. I'm not sure why they have the SWAT out here. You know, we are peaceful, we are in prayer, and we're going to continue to stay that way.
Your fascist expression is too much. This was a land of people that were free. You guys now have sold out that freedom to the corporations. Look at you. Look around. Look at all the fellow officers that are in line with you. You guys are all corporate slaves. Corporate slaves.
You're mercenaries.
You're corporate slaves. You've allowed them to incarcerate people that have stood up for the earth. What's wrong with you? Have you no conscience? Even anybody could see that this is a ridiculous adventure.
They've arrested seven so far. We had four men that were sitting here praying, and they drug them off to the paddy wagon back there. And there was a few more that they dragged off as well before.
Think about what you're doing.
You got to stay on this side of the cones that they set up against us. They told us to disperse for a reason, saying that we're blocking the roadway. But as you can see, there's nobody standing on the roadway. The only ones blocking the roadway are the police themselves. Again, I'm sorry for the weak connection.
Look at the amount of money that you guys are wasting on us.
Protecting your water.
They don't care. They're getting a paycheck.
We can help you feed your family if that is why you do this. I've been asking ever since I got here, why are you here? Give me a reason.
That's Homeland Security you're looking at. Those aren't police officers. Those are federal forces. Those are federal forces that were brought in. Those aren't regular police officers from there. They don't have these kind of machines there. This is Homeland Security they've unleashed on us.
Shout out to our brothers and sisters down south whose water already has been polluted. The Great Barrier Reef is gone. We are protecting our rivers.
Who approved the pipeline because they violated United States Code extortion under color of title. Is it, raise your hand more than they have the authority to sign off. And by doing so, they put all of you in harm's way and all of us in harm's way. So you guys are
supposed to know law, not be slaves to it.
No, we're teaching it to them. They
have to take orders.
They were taught.
Keep it in the soil.
They don't appear to be taught civil law.
Keep it. Water is life!
Road 135, if anyone can make it out here, that'd be good. They're just calling out another arrest on us. We are not on the roads. We are not doing anything illegal. We are off the roadway. They said we were blocking the roadway. The only ones blocking the roadway, as you can see, are the police officers. A paralegal here asking for the badge number, asking for the one in charge. They might start arrest. They took out the one who knew the law a lot more. They have them on the vehicles right now. They just ran and grabbed them. Careful, guys.
Get that drum. Give us the drum.
You need to follow us.
You guys are not going to get arrested. Please stand back.
That's a sacred prayer object. Give us the drum, please.
That's all we're asking for, that drum to come back.
Baba, that's ya.
Can we get the drum back?
This is legal.
Can we please have the drum back? That's a sacred prayer object.
We need the drum back.
They just now stole our drum. They're refusing to give it back. That's a sacred object to the Lakota people. The broadcast keeps interrupting because I'm in area where I don't have good service. If you guys can't watch it, please rewind the video and start from the beginning, where I'm going to stay live for as long as I can.
So what we heard there, of course, again, there was the threats by the armored police. They arrested some folks at this action as well, as you heard. And one of them was a drummer, and his drum was taken, and the people were screaming. They were very agitated because the police took a sacred prayer object. When we talked about Paul Laney and his actions and his words on behalf of Morton County and the show that we did recently about him calling the actions riots, I said that what Morton County was doing was bordering on sacrilege. This is past the border. They yeah. have done it. They are taking sacred prayer objects. They are stopping prayers. They are criminalizing the act of praying. And they think that it does not matter because it's not happening in a Catholic church or in a Lutheran church, because it's not happening to white folks. But they are wrong. You are messing with the Creator, Morton County Sheriff. You are messing with God, what you call God. That's what you're messing with when you're taking away people's free rights of assembly and prayer away. You're messing with the Constitution, and you're messing with the Creator. And forget about the legal ramifications for a moment. Think about your souls. Think about your history and your legacy and what you're doing for the image of law enforcement throughout the state. Next, we're going to hear about those legal ramifications, because I think it needs to be said that what this Sheriff's Department is doing, and what other authorities within the state of North Dakota have been doing, is illegal. So let's listen to what this Young Turks interview with this environmental lawyer sounds like.
So you seem to be the designated liaison talking to the police over there. Can you kind of talk to me about how you were tasked with that, and what was the conversation like?
Sure. Yeah, I'm an attorney with the Civil Liberties Defense Center out of Oregon, and we do activist defense around the country, and primarily climate campaigns, which often take place in very rural areas like this, where there's not a lot of lawyers and not a lot of legal capacity. So I'm here volunteering with the Red Owl Legal Collective, and today I was asked to be the police liaison, which basically means that you are the negotiator between the police and the activists.
So they had a yellow line where they basically said, if you pass this, you're going to get arrested. It looked like, to me, over at least 100 officers. They were holding billy clubs. One was in a tank with a shotgun. I don't know what else they had.
All those light armored vehicles.
So what were the conversations like? What is the liaison? Do you tell them what your intentions are and see what they'll allow?
Well, I take my direction from the water protectors, and in this case, they wanted to get over the hill to the construction site to do a prayer and to do a ceremony. So I approached them and asked them if it would be possible for us to continue on our way. And they said no, that by an order of the sheriff of Morton County, that we were not going any farther than that. The construction site was on the other side of the hill, and this morning, several water protectors locked down to the construction equipment in the dark of night. So they didn't want us getting much closer to that. So they basically said if we, you know, cross the line, we would be arrested. And then later on, they basically said that we had to disperse, that we were blocking the road, that that was arrestable, and either everyone had to go to the ditches or they would be arrested. And I had to remind them of some constitutional language, which they were very ignorant of because they're rural and don't deal with these issues at all, ever. Eventually, they conceded and allowed us to stay there to do the prayer, and the water protectors agreed that they would then peacefully walk back on the roadway. Then the activists decided that that was their goal for the day, and we're now returning back to the cars. The dangerous part coming up. We've had a number of people what's called snatch and grab, which is people who don't intend to be arrested have been stopped in convoys leaving the actions and have been arrested for things.
What kind of thing?
21 people last week were the last 21 cars in a convoy, did nothing different than the other 100 cars in the convoy. They got stopped and arrested for trespassing, and their cars were impounded. So they had to pay $250 bail and a $450 impound fee, and all of those charges are bogus. So literally, Martin County, you know, made about $800 off of each of the 21. We'll likely get the charges dismissed. We're probably going to file a federal civil rights action for the unlawful arrests and the unlawful impoundment of their cars. But the intention with those types of actions are to scare out-of-towners from being comfortable coming to these actions. So they're trying to chill the rights of others to come and participate in these protests.
Now, let me ask you, because I don't think a lot of people understand. I don't even understand myself. They say all of this is private property.
Yes.
The construction sites, they say, are private property. Obviously, the Native Americans say this is treaty land. Where can you go to demonstrate, and where can you park? Apparently, you can't even park. Is all of this technically private property?
Well, what we're walking along right now is ranch lands, private ranch lands. And so Dakota Access Pipeline purchased easements. So it's like they're renting other people's land, a strip where they're going to build the pipeline. And so they have property rights, basically, to that strip. So if we go on their strip, they can trespass us. If we go on this private ranch land, the rancher could technically, you know, arrest us for, have us arrested for trespassing. Public roadways, the right-of-ways on the sides of the roads are all public forums, which means you have a constitutional right to assemble and express yourself in those areas.
If these are public roadways and all the cars are parked on public roadways, how are they snatch and grabbing, like you're saying, people who are parked?
Again, unlawful, but in that case, we were driving away already. So people were in their cars driving away. That's been another major situation here, is the police targeting Native American people in their vehicles for very, very minor vehicular violations. Like, one person got arrested for going 1 mile over the speed limit. Another person got arrested for having a crack in their taillight. You know, it's forms of harassment, obviously.
Over up there, it looks like, to me, it looks like there's state police. It also looks like there's military people. Can you kind of talk about who are these people?
Well, those actually were not military people. Those are all civilian police, mostly Bismarck City Police, along with the county sheriff. Up until yesterday, we had Wisconsin state troopers, we had Nebraska cops that were all brought in to, you know, further militarize the area. They just went home yesterday. And then in addition, you probably passed the checkpoint on your way here that is currently manned by National Guard military personnel. We're actually going to file a lawsuit challenging that in the upcoming weeks. Because, you know, civilians aren't supposed to be policed by the military. It's bad enough that our civilian police look like they are the military.
Essentially, it seems like you have out-of-state police, city police, state police, all standing to protect a private company's pipeline.
That's correct. Often, especially in all of these pipeline situations, whether it's rural Texas, Minnesota, Montana, you know, these are rural, poor areas that get targeted because they don't have the power to fight these pipeline routes coming through them. They often have very few cops, very untrained. And so when something like this happens, they bring in the troops.
And can you kind of talk about, it seems like a surveillance state here, too. You have helicopters above, checkpoints.
Drones. If you go to the casino, you better have a VPN because the amount.
What's a VPN?
VPN is a virtual private network. It's a way to encrypt your internet use and your emails, because the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the feds actually have a big communications semi that you'll pass when you go back to the camp, and they're doing cell phone jamming and all sorts of.
So obviously you're an attorney, but just as a person, do you think they're doing all this essentially to assist them from finishing this pipeline as quickly as possible?
Absolutely. And that happens all over the place. The collusion between corporations and the state is just overwhelming at this point, you know. And some of these corporations actually give money to the cops in order to support their policing efforts. In fact, in Texas, during the Keystone XL pipeline construction, TransCanada would go ahead of the pipeline and do PowerPoint trainings for local police, telling them what terrorist crimes they could charge activists with, gave them pepper spray and mace to use on the protesters, you know, basically came in with their own private police forces to bolster the ranks of the actual, you know, licensed cops.
So it looks like also there's wasn't up there, but there's also mercenaries and private security that's been hired by the pipeline company. We saw that a few weeks ago when Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! was shooting, basically them unleashing hounds on people. Have we seen more of that as well?
They have stopped using dogs, to our knowledge thus far. And many of those private corporate police are off-duty law enforcement officers. So they go back and forth between being public law enforcement officers and private goons, where they make extra money on the weekends or whatever, working for the corporations. So it's incredibly conflict-oriented.
And when
this is a boon for the, you know, those local law enforcement, you know, that light armored vehicle you saw and all that equipment, they didn't have that before this started. So it's a boom for law enforcement. They would get tons of money, tons of gear and equipment, and they get to keep it.
From the oil company?
Well, it depends. You know, in this case, they've literally declared this an emergency. They've brought in Joint Terrorism Task Force, law enforcement personnel. So it's kind of a hybrid situation. It'll be interesting, actually, to follow the money in the aftermath of it. Nobody's done the public records requests yet to actually track that down, but as a journalist, it could be a fun project to take on.
And last question. So weeks ago, the broader public was cheering because they thought President Obama and the DOJ closed this thing down. Apparently that was just a specific area closest to the water, and that injunction has been lifted. My understanding of it was the injunction was put in so they could, quote, research, re-look at the environmental results, effects.
Resources, actually. They were supposed to further look at the burial grounds that they've already desecrated here. And then in order to sort of placate or appease the tribal governments, they did a historical survey, a cultural resource survey, in that one particular area. Right now, they're claiming that 88% of the pipeline in North Dakota has been completed, 90% for the entire duration of it. This fight will continue for a while, but there's currently another fight happening in Iowa where pipeline construction has already begun in that stretch of the pipeline as well.
Here, the injunction was lifted?
Yes.
And what happened in that case? Did the DOJ and President Obama essentially look the other way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was political maneuvering to begin with in an election year. They didn't really have any real backbone. I think there's been some call that if Clinton really wants the votes of environmentalists and millennials, that she will, you know, publicly declare an end to these types of pipeline construction. You know, of course, irreparable harm has already been done to these areas and to the tribes themselves. But the flip side is that, you know, this has been an incredible historic unification of tribes. There's over 250 tribes present on Standing Rock right now. Some of them have been enemies, you know, for time immemorial. So Native American sovereignty and Native American issues in general have really incredibly benefited from these struggles. So regardless of what happens with what this single pipeline, I think that the movement as a whole and the fights to come will be much more significant.
Lastly, Sorry. It's the benefit of not being corporate media. I could go on and on. So what's the path forward? You're saying 88 to 90% is built. Obviously, we're out here. You have protectors, this and that. But once it's built...
Well, you know, they can build it. But just this earlier this week, 10 activists were arrested for shutting down every single tar sands pipeline into the U.S. Only 10 humans jumped fence, turned the safety valves off, and stopped the flow of tar sands oil into the United States.
Where was this?
Montana, Washington, Minnesota, and northern North Dakota, all along the Canadian border.
And that sounds to me like the action that a journalist was arrested for.
Several videographers, three videographers were arrested. These locations were incredibly remote. They actually live streamed the actions. And there were only, I think, five or six people who were intending to get arrested. The other four were either support or videographers that were snatched and charged with conspiracy to commit the actual crimes. I think we're going to get those charges thrown out, but in the meantime, those folks were hauled to jail, their cameras were seized. Luckily, they were live streaming, so the footage got out nonetheless. They're on felony bail, and they were a little shaken up because they were aware that it was a likely possibility, I think, but was intending to be arrested.
Isn't one being charged with a maximum 45 years in prison? Well, Josh Fox's producer, Dia Schlossberger, I believe her name is?
Yeah. Daya has, I think, three conspiracy charges.
Conspiracy to commit journalism?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how things shake out. But when I talked to her a couple of days ago, you know, told her, take a shower, get a good meal, things are probably going to shake out in the wash. But, you know, it's scary when you're not expecting that. And whenever you're dealing with critical energy infrastructure like pipelines, dams, train tracks, there is the ability for the state to enhance the charges against an activist. We actually haven't seen that here yet, but when you shut down every drop of tar sands oil into the U.S., you kind of have to expect, you know, and you're going after Enbridge and Kinder Morgan and, you know, TransCanada, these huge corporations. They got together on the phone with themselves and said, you know, screw these people. You know, we can't have the people of the United States thinking they can jump a chain link fence and hinder our profits, you know. But I think it really illustrated that they can build it, but people can be like ants, you know. We're going to be nimble. There's more of us than them. They can't protect every inch of pipeline in the United States.
Where could people find you? If are you looking for more legal assistance, you know, funds to help with your cases? Where could people help?
So our website is cldc.org, Civil Liberties Defense Center. I think that there are several other, like, GoFundMe places attached to the camp. There's also the Red Owl Legal Collective, which is located at the Standing Rock camp right now. And those are all great places for people to plug in.
Thanks so much for what you're doing.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines. We've been talking about North Dakota and its violation of people's rights today. And if you want to help, you can go to the Standing Rock Sioux Facebook page or their website and donate directly to them, especially to the Legal Fund. There's also a Red Warrior Camp Legal Fund. Help them out by donating dollars so that they can fight against these illegal actions that have been taking place. As you have heard, there are other mother attorneys out there. The ACLU is also standing with Standing Rock. There's the Lawyers Guild is standing with Standing Rock, and they have attorneys that have come to be legal observers, as well as the UN. There's a lot of folks down there that are paying attention to this, but it's going to have to play out in the court systems, folks. And that's why Morton County Sheriff's Department and these other law enforcement entities that are participating in this do not anticipate any backlash or fallout from their actions today. But there will be, as you heard the attorney talking about, there are already lawsuits that are being filed against the Morton County Sheriff's Department and the officers that are violating people's rights. Stay tuned for more on that in the future. And from us here at KPPP-LP-FM, 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves, Minnie Wiccioni Water is life.